Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I was just sharing with the guys in the queue here before we went on the air. Hey, welcome today, January 23rd. I'll never forget January 23rd, 1963. January 23rd, I just realized it. January 23rd, 1963, I woke up. I was 10 years old. No, I might have been, yeah, I was 10 years old. And walked down, got out of bed and walked out into the kitchen where my mom and dad were. And my dad was sitting at the table crying. And I thought, what? Yeah, I'd never seen that before. I said, and mom's over there saying whatever. And I walked down there and I said, well, I didn't say anything. But just, what's going on, you know? What's going on? Your dad's sitting at the table crying. And so I just kind of looked at my mom, and she came over and she hugged me, put her arm around. She says, Grandma Teen passed away last. That was my grandmother, my dad's dad. She just dropped over and had a heart attack. January 23rd, 1963. And, you know, it really taught me something about the power, the importance of a matriarch in a family, the mother in a family. If I go back and probably track the history of my dad's family, my dad's father was gone all the time. He worked for the Ohio Gas Company. And this is Depression era stuff, right? My dad's born in 1919. And so grandpa would go away to work and grandma stayed home and she raised a family. So when the patriarch died, my dad didn't cry as much when his father died. He died a few years later. Something about mother dying, the importance of a matriarch and a woman in a home is a very, very powerful thing. You know, we used to get together all the time. Our family celebrations would get together all the time down at Grandma Teen. Her name is Christina, and everybody just called her Grandma Teen. We'd get down and have, you know how y'all do, have those great big parties, and they cook bread, and they do all that stuff. And, you know, when Grandma Teen died, we quit having those parties. Lost all contact with some of my cousins down there. It's amazing. Well, anyway, so that was January 23rd, 1963. I just thought about that as I looked in there. And, man, we had the most unbelievable late summer thunderstorm last night. About 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I don't know what time it was. Goodness gracious. I thought the trees were going to blow our house on top of our house. And we live in amazing times. And they called earthquake last night in Alaska, 8.3. Now they're worried about tsunami warnings. In fact, I saw it's going to hit Oregon. Hey, Tim, you okay up there? The tsunami warning is going to be about the time show goes off the air, about 8:10. Our time is a tsunami warning for that area up there. So welcome to the show. And you know what the biggest problem with, if I would call it a problem, when I get up in the morning and I'm excited to come and do the show, I don't know which way to go. I mean, I do, but I don't know which way to go. But you know something that really is a burden to me? It's really a burden to me. And I guess we just have to at some point learn to kick the dust off of our feet and move on. Listen, there are some people that you will not dynamite them out of the secure box they're in no matter what. I don't care what you talk about. They think it's tinfoil hat. They don't want to hear about it, whether it be vaccinations, which I've never even talked about that. But boy, that's a subject to talk about. Whether it be chemtrails, and yeah, we've talked about that. And whether it be the Illuminati, there are some people who are so safe in their box that they would rather turn you off than listen. Which I think is, I've asked this before, what has happened to the inquisitive nature of the Christian man? What's happened to us? That inquisitive nature. Because we no longer have an inquisitive nature, could we start today with the second revolution? If we had to start over if we had to do what our forefathers did and launch a new nation, could we do that today? Does the average Christian man, is he inquisitive enough? to be able to do that?
No.
And you know, I really don't know. You know, the Bible says that knowledge will increase. We know more now than we ever known. And I run into so many Christians who know less than you point at chemtrails and they think you're, I don't know what they think you are. You can't see that? You think that's normal? So when I come down to do the show, I hear from the spiritual folk, praise the Lord, who say, Coach, I want to go deeper on this topic. Praise the Lord. I do too. Then I hear from the political folks that they want to know more about this. And then I hear from the tinfoil hat. They want to go deeper on this. So I'm juggling. All right. I'm doing the best I can juggling to try to keep this thing somewhat focused. Was that you, George? Sounded like you.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Coach, yep, go ahead, you know, it's funny you say that because, yes, so many Christian, they'll question chemtrails and things like that as they go get a flu shot and they stick mercury. And poison, but that's normal, isn't it? That's normal.
I don't know what to say, man. I don't know. Well, so even if I talk about the flu shots, they think that's conspiratorial. They say, Coach, you see a conspiracy around everything. Guys, the Bible says that the kings of this world set up themselves and conspire against the Lord and his anointed. It is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy going on. The seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And listen, it ain't bitty league football, baby. If you think it's just everything that's contained in your little box that you know in your church, if you think that's the battle, I can't help you. But if you're brave enough to poke your head up out of there and say, yeah, that box I am in, that is true. But you know, there's stuff outside there that I never even seen before. And now that I see what's going on outside that box, everything makes a little bit more sense to me. That's where I am with it.
And then it's called the lonely brain cell right there, Coach.
Brother, I don't know what
going against the herd.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Hey, Dale, the thing that discourages me, these are brothers in the Lord. I don't care about the lost people. I couldn't care less about the lost. But to try to open the eyes and enlighten those of you, see, here's what it is, folks. You better come to this realization. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Mm-hmm. And just because you believe it doesn't mean it is. That's why he gave us a brain and the ability to think and to research. And can you imagine where we would be today were it not for the internet? Do you have any idea how they would have already pulled the pillowcase over our head already? We'd be so buried. So I'm going to try to juggle a couple different things here today with you. I appreciate you letting me vent yesterday about the $1 million gift and the 10-cent plan. And I'm going to work to do something about both of those things because there's an urgency inside of me. I heard that thunderstorm last night. I'm telling you. That thing rumbled so deeply, I thought, man, oh, man, CERN has opened up. I'm not kidding you. I've never heard anything as low and as deep and as long as that thundering thunderstorm in the middle of January last night. May not impress you, but that don't happen in Ohio. That just doesn't happen here. There's strange things coming upon the face of the earth. Anybody else want to throw a strange thing in there or anything before I get rolling? By the way, tip of the cap to Chad Estes. Chad's hitting the big time. Maybe he's bucking for my job or something. He was on with Mike Kerr for Hear the Watchman yesterday. Did a real nice interview. He was on the cover of front page of the Hagman Report the other day, talking about what Thad's doing down there. So tip of the cap to you, Chad. And you know,
congrats.
Here's what I remember.
Well, amen, Coach. Just give God the glory, man. Give God the glory.
Well, yeah. You don't even have to say that. I know that. But what I want you to see is the Lord rewards obedience. And then Rich Wallace, I got a text message from Rich Wallace. You say, who? Well, the guy that I went over to Indianapolis with yesterday. That guy, Rich Wallace. Yeah, him. The one where, you know, a handful of people showed up. Rich Wallace and his buddy, they went to a city council meeting last night. Because there's a mosque coming into their town. And he sucked up his courage, said he'd never done anything like that. And he got about six of them. They went to the city council meeting. And what do you suppose they did? They basically shut down the city council meeting and said, yeah, we'll deal with this later on. Isn't that something? See?
That's awesome.
You just help guys get a little bit of courage to step out and do something. Because Kevin Bushy, Sarge, has been warning us. Said, listen, man, this whole thing's coming local. It's coming local. All politics are local. And I believe that the grip of the new world order, you call that thing whatever you want to, or stay in that box and don't call anything, whoever they are, eventually to get you there. They got to come to where you are eventually. They got to come to where you are. And they're already there. There are a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that they're already there. And connections are already there. I got a couple of emails yesterday about my dong hat. Some guys want the dong hat. So I got to get my designer to work on the dong hat. They thought that was pretty cool that we wear dong hats. You know, I even thought about that. A man would never wear a dong hat, would he?
No,
a man wouldn't do that.
Man.
As crude as you get, men have too much dignity to go out and wear a dong hat.
Yeah.
But you go to those women marches and they're wearing these things. Everywhere you look, they're wearing these vagina hats. Women have become so debased in our society and our culture. Women. Women. Hey, I love women.
They're
a married one.
Plus is resource, brother.
I got two daughters. They've got daughters. I love women. And it grieves me to see the debauchery of womanhood. It grieves me.
Amen, Coach.
For a woman to walk around and be able to wear a vagina hat, she thinks that's liberty. That shows us where we are, right? And as I said, when we went to the Women's March a year ago in D.C., I said, I got this whole thing figured out. Women now just want to have sex. They just want to have sex without any consequences, like just like men. That's what the women's movement is.
It's not reality,
except,
though, brother.
No, well, it is, but you got to have murder in there, murder of babies, in order to be able to do that, Benny. And so as long as they have murder of babies, then they can sleep around whatever. They
but
can sleep around.
A stupid pill can erase all that, and that's just not, it's not reality.
Well, it isn't moral reality. It certainly isn't moral reality. But see, moral reality doesn't matter anymore because the church has taken a back seat, and the church doesn't want to get involved in either religion or politics, right? That's where I was trying.
Well,
that's where I was trying to go.
For the church, they're taking the front seat, man.
Well, the where I tried to get to yesterday and got kind of drug off, not on purpose, but kind of got drug off a little bit yesterday, is I wanted to bring back the focuses. We'll never recover if we don't return to some type of morality. If we as a culture and a society, if we don't come together and come up with a common sense of values. Our culture has no chance to be able to survive. If we actually are going to live in a culture and a society where they're going to put on your driver's license, no sex on your driver's license, no sex on it, and we let that happen, well, we have no chance. And again, it's the minority that's running everything. How many people don't know their sex? How many, suppose that is, don't know what gender they are? Let's say they are demonic and they are confused. What percentage would it be? One tenth of one tenth of one tenth of one tenth? Makes nobody put their gender on their card anymore? Well, because the Christianity, love, 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 and who are you to judge? And, you know, we can't force our beliefs on everybody else and can't legislate morality. That's some serious malarkey for you right there, boys. That's some serious stuff.
Hey, you know what, Coach?
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about, you know, been around you. We've talked about the craziness of this stuff. And you just go back 5, even 7 or 10 years, and we looked at that time as how nuts and how crazy people were. And then we're at this point, and we're like, we can't believe how fast it's come. Just imagine what it's going to be like even in a few years from now. I mean, what we're seeing out in society right now, what is going to be, can it get any worse is always our end question. Can it get any worse? And the answer is yes, it will.
Well, Coach.
I don't think the Lord's going to allow it to, Dale. And what I think is going to happen, I think in God and His mercy, some calamity is going to bring. It's going to drive people away from the nonsense. That's what I think.
Well, And going back to your opening comments, you know, and it says he will send a strong delusion that even some of the elect's sake, you know, would fall away from the faith, brother. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that when we're embracing homosexuality in our churches and adultery and fornication and just, you know, the perversion, you know.
Yeah, so let me dive into it here. That's a great segue. A great segue. I got a lot of stuff I want to show you today. Bear with me, all right? I know you will. Hey, Jared, go to the stuff I sent you. Second one says Pew on abortion. You say, Coach, you talk about abortion a lot. I know I do. It is the issue of our lifetime. The issue. the destruction of the family and the devaluation of life. I'm going to tell you, if they can kill an unborn baby, they can kill you. Don't you fool yourself. If there ain't no sanctity in the little unborn baby, ain't nothing special about you. And I heard Paul McGuire say something on the Hagman last night that was so profound. So profound. He said the humanism in America today is the most dangerous ideology in the history of the world. The humanism, the secularism in America today. He said you can go back to the communists, and the communists killed millions and millions of people. And they killed millions of people because they thought the state was God. So even Stalin and even those guys who were killing people, they thought they were killing people for a good reason. They were making society better. So even though they had to murder people to do it, in their heart of hearts, they were making society better. That's how they justified it. Stalin, Hitler, all those guys. Communism. But the greatest threat to face society in the history of the world is what we're seeing today, which is humanism. And the humanism is the greatest threat because the humanist believes he is God. He is not the state. State's not the judge of right and wrong anymore. He is. Humanism is man supplanting God as the moral authority. And I just did one of those. Wow. That's it. What else can make a person kill a baby? What else can make a woman do that?
Well, Coach, adding to that, think about that. What was Satan's goal? He says, I shall make myself like God.
I shall be like God. What is he doing?
He's encapsulated the spirit of a man to use the man just like he did Judas. To what? I become God.
Amen. Is that in Ezekiel, the five I wills? I will be like God. I will ascend the Most High. I will be like God.
Yep.
I think that's in Ezekiel. Maybe Jared can. But I want you to show. Here's what we're dealing with. You know, we can't end abortion. We can't defund Planned Parenthood. And I said, well, no, we can't because people don't care about it. They really don't care about it. They really don't. They're pro-life and they go and they do these big marches, these pro-life marches, but they really don't care. They really don't care. And wouldn't you know it, just today the evidence popped up right there for all of us to see. So let's go there real quick just so you all know that I'm not making this one up. Let's see, Jared, I got to find here on the sheet. Maybe somebody can Google that, the five I wills. I will ascend. I will be like God. But how about that? Isaiah.
Jared's got it up there.
First, are you ready for this one? Hey, Joe, welcome back. I'm going to let you read this. This is Isaiah chapter 14. And it's beginning in verse 12.
Okay.
Welcome back, Joe. Read this for us. Here, now, guys, I want you to, as Joe reads this, in your mind, underline the five I wills and see if I will is not humanism. It's not communism. We will. It's I will. I will. And what is humanism? Well, it's my body. It's my choice. It's my decision. It's my I. And it is the fruit and the child of Lucifer. Go ahead and read that, Joe. Start in verse 12.
Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?
So the Lord says to Satan, you are fallen, and here is what caused your fall. Go ahead, Joe.
For thou hast said in thine heart.
Stop, Joe. Stop, Joe. Huh? Listen to that. You haven't said it with your mouth. You said it in your heart. So when I was praying before we go on the air, and this morning I prayed, Lord, that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, because the meditation of your heart is what comes out of your mouth. And so we see right here that Satan has said in his heart. Don't pay any attention to the words. Don't pay attention to all this other stuff. He has said in his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Woo! That's good teaching right there, Coach. Go ahead, Joe. Start again on 13.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven.
I will.
I will. My throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
There it is. There it is.
Yes.
There's the five I wills. There it is. That's humanism. The most devastating ideology ever birthed in the heart of a man. I will. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend. And I will be like. What was it that the devil said to Eve? She says, are you allowed to eat that fruit there, girl? Are you allowed to eat that stuff? And she says, oh, no. And the day that we eat it, no, we're not allowed to eat that. And then he says, well, why? Oh, because in the day that we eat it, we'll be like God. Our eyes will be open. We're going to die. What did he say? Oh. And the woman said, okay, Joe, there you are. Genesis 3, just connecting some dots here for you. Religious folks, they're out there. That's not the right word. Spiritual folks, a little bit more interested in some spiritual death. Genesis 3, verse 1. Go ahead, Joe. Hello, Joe. Is he there?
Wrong button.
There you go.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made.
He was subtle. By the way, there were more beasts, weren't there? There were more. There were more beasts because he was more subtle than any of them. There were more of them. He was just the most subtle one.
And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman,
oh, come on, you're not going to die.
Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
There it is. There it is. See? Your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. And what do gods know? Good from evil. And so, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? And they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than... Do you see how this Bible is just unbelievable, the principles and the truths of it? Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Coach, if I may.
What's that?
Coach, if I may.
Yes.
Here's a few revelations about that. First off, for all the right-wing watchers out there, is to understand this, that is that the Lord himself did not cast Satan out of heaven. It was Michael. I mean, if Jesus would have done it, this thing would have been over then. The second thing is in Revelation chapter 20, it was one angel who bound Satan in the abyss for 1,000 years. One chain, one angel. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is for us to open up our eyes and understand when you read in Isaiah in that verse 11, it says, your pomp and the music of your harps have also been brought down low. Satan, his attributes, just like what you were talking about yesterday, your 10 million, what was that? A million?
$10 million, $1 million gift consent plan.
Right. See, God, you're, you know, like Peter was bold and boisterous, but God then used it for his glory. Satan, who was the angel of light, he was the angel of music, and he was the angel of beauty. When he was casted down, those very attributes of what he uses in the earth today, he uses satanic music, right? Music mm-hmm. influences people. He uses what, mm-hmm. when are most crimes, most evil committed? At dark time. And the last thing is the lust of the eyes. What is it? The desires of the eyes. The very things that were cast down into the earth is the very things that he uses in man.
Mm-hmm. And so my frustration that I was speaking about yesterday then, Dale, is are we as Christians, are we supposed to be content and just allow the devil to do what he does? Are we, did God design us? Did Christ go to the cross and die on the cross to set us free? To live under the tyranny of the evil one. That's foolish on its face.
Colossians 2:14, it says that having made a public display of him, having triumphed him over him, he made a public display of Satan in hell. And he tells us in Romans chapter 16, he says, and the God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet. No, we're not supposed to sit back, be idle. We're supposed to bruise our heel on the devil's head.
Yep. So we take 750,000 people to march on Washington, and they go home and nothing done. So I want to show you a little evidence here. I told you that we don't really care. Go to the pew and abortion. This popped up today in my inbox. Got to find Jared again here. Normally Jared sits right at the top of my queue there, and today he's clear down here. I got to go clear down here and find him. Look at this, folks. America, can anybody see at the top of that says January 22nd, 2018, meaning this has just been released? American religious views vary widely in their views of abortion. Now, Jared, we don't have to read any of this stuff. Let's just go down and show the chart, Jared. Just scroll down the chart. Just look at this chart. Guy right there. Okay? Here it is. Americans view on abortion by religious groups. Unitarians, 90% of them think it should be legal. Atheists, 87%, agnostic, Jewish, the Jews, 83% of Jews ain't pro-life. That's pretty staggering, huh? We think they follow the Bible, don't we? The Buddhists, the Episcopals, 79% of Episcopals think it ought to be legal. Church of Christ. Larry, don't tell me about those social clubs. United Church of Christ, 72% of them. Presbyterian Church, 65%. Evangelical Lutheran Church, 65% think it ought to be legal. The AME, African Methodist, 64, say, well, yeah, but those are just those old dead denominations. 57% of Methodists think abortion ought to be legal. Yeah, okay, well, let's scroll down a little bit. How about the National Baptist Convention? Why, 57% of them think it ought to be legal. Anglicans, 56. Muslims. Presbyterian Church USA, 54. Orthodox Church. You got to get clear. You get down even into the American Baptist churches. 47, half the people sitting in the Baptist church think abortion ought to be legal. Lutheran church, look at those numbers. Is that unbelievable? And finally get clear down there to where all those other fools are. Church of God, Tennessee, 20%. 77% think it ought to be abolished. Assemblies of God, 71%. Nazarenes, 70%. So, see, here's the truth. And God-fearing, Bible-believing churches, 25% of them believe it ought to be legal. One out of every four people sitting in the pew think abortion ought to be legal. But we have, in fact, met the enemy, and it's us.
Wouldn't you think
one out of four people are deluded? It
would be a 100% group.
Larry, you'd think it would be 100% someplace, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think the Baptists would be 100%? The Baptists?
It's 100% here, husband.
Coach.
So the result of this is the fact that we bought into this idea of secularism and who am I to judge, and you have your right, and you have your beliefs, and I have my beliefs, and you have things that you believe are true, and it might be true for you, but it's not true for me, and moral confusion and moral relativism and situational ethics. That, boys and girls, it's right inside the church.
How accurate do you think this chart is?
Well, it's today, man. It's just released today.
Yeah, but it's really disappointing. Propaganda.
It's hard to believe.
It's not. It's what? Not true. It's a representation. It's not actually true.
Really? Well, of course. I trust this more than I trust the polls on CNN. I trust this.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Yep. Now, I understand this is Pew, right? So Pew leans left. They could probably cheat on a little bit. But do you think when you walk into whatever church you go into, whatever church, and anybody listening to me, do you think when you walk in your church, 100% of the people in your church think abortion's wrong? It should. They should.
Unfortunately, it should, yeah.
There's no way they do. There's no way. No way. And so then we understand why we're not the salt of the earth and the light of the world, why our values don't rule the day, or we don't even share them. We don't even share the same value. We don't share the biblical value. Thou shalt not murder. Okay, now, Jared, can I show you something else? This just came on me. Google No, that's not the right word. Yeah, Google covet. C-O-V-E-T.
Hey, Coach.
Because covet's one of those big Ten Commandments that we just kind of put off the side there. We don't think a whole lot about coveting, when, in fact, that's our whole society. Somebody tried to jump in. Was that George?
No, it was me. You know,
good, Larry.
If you're a coach of a sports team and your different teams in your league are all playing by different sets of rules, what's gonna happen?
Well, we're not going to let me make it even more central than that, Larry. Let's say that half of my team doesn't think you ought to have to huddle up. We're not going to huddle. We don't believe in huddle. And so we try to run a play, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. And can I tell you this? That the society and the culture is messed up because the greatest, among other things, if you think about, what we just read about Eve in the garden, you know what the devil tried to do? The devil tried to get Eve to covet. He tried to get her to covet. She had no desire to eat that apple until the seed was planted in her brain to eat that apple. She said, "We got all kinds of stuff here to eat. All kinds of stuff." The devil says, you mean you can have all this stuff? She said, "Oh, yeah, we can have everything but that right in there." She had no desire to even have that right in there because she'd been told not to. But the devil planted covetousness in his heart, What, Benny?
It's a two words I keep saying, semantics and misdirection. That's the tricks that you all the blame.
Hey, Coach, here's even a scarier thought than all of that, is that we, in our minds, think we're smarter than God. Because when you look at abortion, God addresses it three times in the book of Jeremiah that it is so wicked. It says in Jeremiah 32:35, I'm reading it, it says, "You built the high places of Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, which I have not commanded them, nor has it entered my mind." That's God speaking. He says that stuff is so wicked. And God knows how to do evil. God knows how to send pestilences and punish people. He said, but when you kill your sons and daughters like that, he says, that's so wicked, it's never even entered my mind. That's not a good place to be.
That's evil you can't even count. Exactly.
So to covet means to desire what belongs to another, inordinately or culpably. The king's brother coveted the throne. Or how about this one? The illegal alien coveted welfare. Or the guy who didn't like to work coveted unemployment. And one of the things that's happened in America is we have legalized coveting. Not only have we legalized coveting, we endorse coveting. We promote coveting. And what is our entire elected debate when election season comes around? Rich and against poor, old against young. I want what you have. You want what I have.
It's a slave master.
Covetousness. It's all covetousness. All of it is. And there's something, the greatest example of covetousness, which we just saw, which brushes right over the average believer's head, is the idea that I'm going to covet your life so mine can be better. That's abortion. Your life, I want your life so it doesn't mess up with mine. The ultimate coveting. When Jesus said the greatest love, then no man has a greater love than this, has no man than he would uncovet his own life for another. And we see in the church that the only reason people would kill their baby is because it doesn't fit into their plan. Period. That's it. Only reason.
That's it. That's right, Coach. Did I tell you about the tweet that this woman sent to me once? I asked her how could she end the life of a child so capriciously. She's like, "Well, the child's a parasite. I didn't ask it to get into my body."
There you go.
I'll post it for you guys. Mm-hmm. Is that the sickest thing you ever heard? A parasite.
Like, I'm not a parasite eating off the things of God, right?
Oh.
I'm not a parasite. And so, see, hey, guys, come on now. Stay with me here. Coveting is alive and well in the church, isn't it? Isn't it alive and well in the church? Did you ever think of the name it, claim it, Kenneth Hatt, Copeland, and those guys name it, and the name it and claim it? Isn't that just coveting? Isn't it just coveting, asking God to give you more money, you just covet it more and more and more? And we take that in the Ten Commandments, we stick it right down there towards, you know, we put it down there in the middle, thou shalt not covet. And, oh, we get mad about murder, and we get mad about seeing shitholes, and we get mad about all that stuff. And down there coveting, every one of us, every one of us. Coveting's what the devil planted, covetousness in the heart of Eve, and look what happened to us. And I can't stay married to my wife because I'm not happy and I want to have a better life. And so I'll get the government to say that I can go covet a better life. That's okay. I'll go covet that one. And so if we don't come back to some type of standards of right and wrong, good and evil, and all of us agree on it, this is thick and this is good. I want to point out a couple things here before I forget. Man, it's 7:35 already. Holy smokes. I want to point out something. David Arthur did an unbelievable job. I sat in for Bradley Dean yesterday. I'm sitting in again for him today. David was so good yesterday. We're having another. David, I heard from people, actually. I got emails from people I'd never heard of before that they'd never heard anything like it. And David and I are going to go back on that Bradley Dean Sons of Liberty today at 3 o'clock as well. And somebody asked me, are they archived anywhere? And I don't know. I'll try to find out from Bradley if they are archived anywhere. It was you did well, man. You did well. Your testimony is captivating.
It's on him, of course.
Yeah, I know it is. And so we're gonna do that again today. And then I know, Coach, that
they replay it. They replayed it like the interview itself, like twice after it was over. They replayed it throughout the night. Yeah, a couple people messaged me, and they were just like, "Wow!" And I just heard it, so I went online and I saw that they were re-airing the interview.
I see Jared right now is working to get that up on the screen for us. It's Sons of Liberty.
Okay.
Sons of Liberty. I think it's Sons of Liberty Media. I think it is, Jared. I'm sure. There you go. Sons of Liberty Radio. Bradley Dean has a powerful. He's got a powerful ministry. It's good stuff. And so David and I will be on there again today at 3 o'clock live, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 81 different affiliates around the nation. So praise the Lord on that. And then I want to make you aware of something else that Sarge. Did I send that to you? Sarge is on a real nice little blog that he's got going on his own. I want you guys to see that if you can. Jared, it just says main blog. And this is just for those of you in the queue that see, I think part of the battle we're fighting is an information battle. And Sarge has come up with it. I don't know whether he's one that's done it or not. It's called the county blog. And blessings. I'm sorry, blogging on Christian news and comments in their particular area. And I got on that yesterday, Sarge, and I thought, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Because the people that we're dealing with, the ones who don't want outside the box, they don't know where to go to look. And if they do go look someplace, because they've never heard it, they don't trust it. Right? And then they'll read somebody else saying this is a tinfoil hat. So there's Sarge, that blog that's up there, and it's called the countyblog.net, the county blog. I'm going to read this one on the pineal gland, getting cleaned out a little bit by drinking distilled water. That's an interesting one. And then on and down and down and down and down. So we got a lot of good stuff like this. David, there's me. What's in precatory prayer? Very, very simple stuff. So tip the hat to you there, Sarge, on that because I think it's really, really good. Anybody, jump in. I got another place to go, but jump in here real quick if you want to.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Did you see the big thing on the news this morning? And is kudos to David for speaking. I think that's great. This morning, the big splash is now, you know, the guy named Guy Benson, one of them
yes.
political groups. Did you see where he's come out now? He says, I'm conservative, I'm Christian, and I'm gay. and they're touting him this morning all over the news. Just, it's wonderful.
Guy Benson, tell me that's not true.
It's tied through Prager University too.
Guy Benson.
Yep.
See, the infiltration on our team is unbelievable. And you know what happened? Let me throw this out because I know this to be true. One of the things that happened in the gay movement, homo movement, is you know, there was a real strong ex-gay therapy movement. But you're not born that way. In fact, that's what David and I spoke about yesterday. And focus on the family, or I like to say focus on the scamily. Focus on the family is a scam. I'm sorry. They're a scam. Focus on the scamily was infiltrated by homo sympathizers who told everybody that the way that you love them is to accept them. That's the way you're going to win them over to Jesus, is just love them, accept them. And that then became the method and the position of the Christian conservative movement. Just love and accept them. Don't reject them. Don't call it sin. Don't be mean to them. And will you look at what's happened to the homosexual anti, I hate that word, the pro-traditional marriage movement within the church. Will you look at that? Has that sucker been blown up? Has that been blown up? And now the homos are running everything inside the church through infiltration, because focus on the scamily brought in some of these plants. They didn't know they were plants. They infiltrated and they're ex-gay and all this. And then we find out some of the ex-gays, they end up going back, and now they're, well, I am gay, I guess. I guess I really wasn't ex-gay. It was all just an act. And now the credibility of focus on the family is all gone. And here's Guy Benson. I don't know Guy Benson, kind of big conservative writer. They love him big in conservative circles. And yeah. And oh, now all of a sudden everybody loves reading Guy Benson and got great influence. And oh, I'll be darned. He's gay. Oh, God. I hate it when that happens.
it's just like David Stein until they realized he was David Cole, you know?
Well, Vince, here's the point. How can you turn away against some guy that you've been following for years, that's been writing these articles, and you're agreeing with him, and then all of a sudden he turns out and he says he's gay, and he said, oh, well, he's always been such a fine writer, and he's so right on so many other things. And by the way, you're born that way. You see it?
Why can't you be right about this? Yeah, exactly.
Coach?
Yeah, sir.
You always ask about the people in the church. This is the same thing. These people are inside of a building. They've dedicated 5, 10, 30, 60 years. They find out the truth, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I'm still going to go, you know, because I like the traditions, and my friends and my family are there. You know, God will understand. It's the same insanity.
It's the same insanity, man.
Hey, Coach.
You're right. There's Guy Benson. You're right. Jeff, you got her, buddy. You got it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Interrupt somebody.
Aren't we talking about workers of iniquity? Is that the right term?
Yeah,
yep,
brother.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. And you know what? Exodus International did the same thing. They came out. He created this huge ex-gay empire. And then after a few years, he said, oh, I was wrong. You can't be ex-gay. It's you're born that way. And I've always seen that as they're just demonic plants. They have an agenda from the very beginning. They're not truly found. They haven't truly come to Christ. They are just, they have an agenda. They are coming out. They're saying that this is what they're, I'm ex-gay. The Lord said it's a sin, and I believe it. They get a big following, and then they say, oh, I was wrong. You can't be ex-gay. It's who you are.
That's right. I see. And we're hooked in because he's one of us. He's one of us. It's the same. Okay, can I say this one? Okay, Lord, I will say it. Right Wing Watch going to pick this one up. I love the arguments that Ben Shapiro makes. He's a young guy. Big man. He was on Breitbart. He's still out there. He's got a show Man, oh man, he is on it. He is Mr. Conservative. Go, Ben, go, Ben, go, Ben. There's only one problem. He denies the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be a big deal to you. But if I've got some conservative telling me what I ought to believe, and he don't believe the truth, he doesn't believe the truth, how can I believe whatever else he says? Does anybody have an issue with that other than me? Anybody?
Hey, Coach, this is Ben Shapiro you're talking about?
Yeah.
He's an Israel firster. Who cares?
Well, you understand why, though, don't you? You understand why?
I don't care, but I guess I do.
He's a great debater. He's great at making the conservative position. He's great at it. Except he doesn't know the truth. He didn't know the truth. Can somebody else explain
what
this
I
one
think
to
he,
me?
I mean, he's an intelligent man, and he has more moral convictions. The Word of God says that he has laid the laws on our heart, that we know the difference between right and wrong. And he has that. And it's one of the problems out at the abortion clinic we have to be careful of, is that we're out there, we're saving babies, we're saving babies. I said, okay, so if you save the baby and the lady leaves, she thinks she's doing this right, but then has no knowledge of the gospel of God and she perishes, does she go to hell? You know, it is a gospel issue.
It's a gospel issue.
Lost as a deuce in a snowstorm.
So Dale, okay, Lord, I'm going to ride this horse just a second. This isn't where it's planning on going, but I'll ride that horse. I have a big issue with Salem Media, Salem Broadcasting. They're the largest Christian, as far as I know, the largest Christian radio conglomerate in America, Salem. And then all the big talkers, 60% of them are Jewish. Dennis Prager, I love listening to Dennis Prager, but Dennis Prager denies the truth. The ultimate truth, he denies it. You understand that? Who's the other one on there? Michael Medved, he might be saved. Michael Medved, what's the other guy? Q Hewitt? How about this one? Okay, are you ready? I don't know how I got on. Okay, Lord, I'll finish it, okay? I turn on Fox News? I don't. But I turned on Fox News, there's Laura Ingraham. God bless Laura Ingraham. She gives a lot of great advice. She really, really does. And then they'll really get a acerbic, and they'll have Ann Coulter come on in there. And Ann Coulter will be, oh, man, she'll be really out there, really, really good, too. And you know what? Neither one of them are married.
Right.
Neither one of them are married. Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham, listen, I don't know about Laura. I love listening to Laura Ingraham. But she has children and no husband. Do you know that? You guys know that? That she has children and no husband? Now, what kind of conservative would adopt babies into a home with no daddy? Praise God she adopts babies. I'm not making fun. I'm going to be on right-wing watch today. I'm just asking questions. I'm trying to show you how easily this stuff oozes in and we don't even recognize it. We don't even, if Laura, right. I'm not, Laura, I love you if you're watching right now. Laura, I love you. I love you, Laura. I do. I love listening to you. But if Laura doesn't understand that a baby deserves a daddy, how's she a leading conservative? Somebody help me out on that one, will you?
Easy, brother. Huh? Gatekeepers. We have gatekeepers around us. The gatekeepers keep us in line. The gatekeepers keep us from asking those questions that we need to discuss.
Oh, Benny, now you're a conspiracy theorist. See, now you're a conspiracy theorist. Right? Huh?
Hey, Coach, one day when you can give me 10 minutes, I'll do a teaching that'll tie a lot of that together, and it's out of Proverbs chapter 5. And the simple word is, when we read it, is end, E-N-D, but that Hebrew word is aharit. That word end of aharit is that which comes after, which we do not see. You know? Uh-huh. In other words, we think we can go into doing something, and we think we can already predetermined what the end is, but what comes after that we don't see, and if we'd have known that, we'd have never went there.
That's right. That's what.
I don't have 10 minutes. If I had more than 10, I'd let you do it right now. I don't want you to have to hurry through it. Okay, okay. I'm gonna throw some tinfoil hat stuff out there. Yep. Go ahead.
The issue concerning Laura, I'm not sure what her situation is. I know that My youngest daughter has five children from five separate fathers. No man lives in that house except my influence is there and her brother-in-law's influence is there because they live next door to each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and to make, you know, I mean, to make a statement that obviously that's wrong, we don't know the circumstances what brought about that situation with Laura. But,
well, I do know him. Her boyfriend used to be Dinesh D'Souza was her boyfriend. I don't know this. Listen, hey, Joe, I don't know the circumstances. What's she doing hosting a national show telling conservatives how to live? She doesn't even have a husband. Who takes care of her kids? Who tucks her kids in bed at night?
Dave?
Yeah.
Well, and I understand the foundation, the biblical foundation is man and woman coming together. So I agree with your comments. There was never even a reference to that in her discussions. But here's something I've got to ask. You said something 5 minutes ago. We would sit in front of the pew in church, and everybody would shake their head to the cultural mess we are in. They'd, yes, it's terrible. Yes, it's terrible. Well, you raised something when you said, are we supposed to just sit back and do nothing? That's unbelievable. Of course not.
That's what we think. That's what we think. But think about what we've been.
Let him finish, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
The Bible clearly doesn't teach we're just supposed to wallow in this mess and just kind of take it all in. It's ludicrous that is what is happening. But everybody feels good because the salvation message, we got to bring them to Jesus. We got to bring
them. That's right.
But we wallow in the mess of this culture and do nothing. It's unbelievable.
It is. And so what's happened is because, listen, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. But, hey, guys, listen, I'm sorry. Christianity is exclusionary. Christianity is exclusionary. Ain't supposed to be just anybody in that church service. I'm sorry. How do you suppose the church got infiltrated? The church got infiltrated because evil men crept in unawares. That's how it happened. They snuck into the very center sanctum of what's going on, and they changed the truth of God into a lie to the point now where you look at a survey on pro-life, and you're going to find out that 60% of people, at the minimum, 40% of people go to church don't think that abortion ought to be against the law. How does that happen?
Hey, Coach.
And so then we have Laura Ingraham on Fox News as a beacon of conservatism, and she is. God bless her. I love her. But there's no husband in her house. There's no daddy in the house. And I would think that it doesn't disqualify her. It doesn't disqualify her as being a good conservative and being a good woman. It couldn't disqualify her of that. But does it disqualify her of leadership? There was a time when it did. Do you know that when we first started teaching school back in the early years, a woman couldn't be married and be a school teacher? Did you know that?
Coach, if you go back to Judges, this is the same example. When we had Deb Judge, why? Because the people of Israel was out of order and was doing wicked unto the Lord that God had them to do this. So look at Laura Ingraham. It is a picture of the displacency of the church and the proper order of the church. We're evil.
Amen, brother.
And that's why. That's why we have that.
Let me throw another one out. Let me throw another one out there real quick. I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you guys. Sometimes you break up in my but let me throw another one out there. What's the name of Kelly? What's her name? Trump's girl, Kelly. Kelly, somebody help me.
Kellyanne Conway.
And they constantly are talking about Kellyanne Conway, and she is a brilliant woman and a mother of three or a mother of five and all that kind of stuff. Well, what's she doing in the White House? She's got five kids at home. What's this? See, we've accepted feminism into Christianity. They are melded together. I love Kellyanne Conway.
So do I.
But who's watching her babies?
Hey, Coach, you know that Northeast Corridor.
At least she's got a husband, though. Yeah.
Now, that Northeast Corridor is very, very highly
Catholic.
Oh, yes, sir.
Laura Ingraham, and I would say at least 8 out of the 10
and Calder,
prominent
and Calder,
radio, and they're all Catholic. And that, and so no matter what they do, they get a pass because they're part of the club that's in charge.
Yeah. See, like, you're just trying to get me, you're just trying to get me in trouble with another group of people. And so, like, just trying to get me. That's all you're trying to do.
Hey, Coach.
And I say that ultimately, if you deny the ultimate truth, I don't know what I can trust you in otherwise. Yes, go ahead.
Also, when that guy Benson's doing his interview, if you listen to it, he is really hammering this side of it that I'm not the hateful side of the homos.
There you go.
I've got morals and I've got values and I'm a good guy. You ought to hear it.
Mm-hmm. So in other words,
Coach, if you have a bottle,
hang on a minute, guys.
Yep.
I hate to be graphic. The insertion of a dong hat into a rectum is moral.
Oh.
That's moral. And so now, Ben, this guy Benson is now moral. See what's happened to us? See what's happened to us? Amazing. It's just amazing. And so since the church has lost its savor, the salt has lost its savor, and there's no standard of righteousness in the church, can you imagine how we could win if all the church agreed? But the church doesn't agree. So the church is basically useless. So they're useless.
Right.
Because the people's guy sitting beside you in the church probably doesn't agree with what you believe. He probably believes something else. And he's welcome as a result of it. He's welcome to come in. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gay. We have all kinds of gays. We have all kinds of gays in our church. You do?
So, Coach, to defend you in the fact of his look, the end result is that they're not Christians. So how can you trust them? If I give you a cup of water and it's got 99% pure water but 1% urine, do you want to drink it? And that's what we're doing. We're drinking that filth.
Not only that, Dale, we're giving it to our kids. We're drinking it and passing it. We're sucking out of it and we're passing it right down to our kiddos. And so we're wondering why the world's on fire, the culture's disintegrating. We wonder why. Now, listen, I want you to tune in tomorrow because I'll give you a fair warning. It's going to be a little bit of tinfoil hat stuff tomorrow.
Oh.
If tinfoil hat stuff makes you, if you don't like it, then, you know, you sleep in tomorrow. Because I think I've got a couple clips that I have just got to show you. You can take it with a grain of salt. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But you just have got to see it. And you know what I'm finding out this? The lost world, don't miss this. This is going to be the tip of the day. The lost world, when they discover truth, they stand on it. The found world, when they discover truth, they compromise on it. And I'm going to show you a couple of clips tomorrow of some lost men who have grasped the truth. And they ain't backing up. They are not compromising on it. Why? Because they ain't Christian. And they ain't looking to love everybody and get everybody saved. They're fealty, their fidelity is to the truth, not religion. They may laugh at Christianity, but when they got a hold of a truth, they do not waver on it. And we in the church, we get our hands on the truth, and we cannot wait to water it down. Jesus said, "It's church, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses his savor, how can it be salty again? Good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of the man." The problem in the world isn't the lost. The problem in the world is found. Join us tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then. Hey, David and I again to the gay on Bradley Dean, 3 o'clock today. God bless.
God bless.